It was interesting. I was visiting Johan and Susanne this week, and if you drive into their house, there's a, I'm not sure if it's a working well, but it's a, at least a form of a well. It doesn't look like it's a working well at all at the end of the day. And when I was driving out, I said, oh, there's a well. It doesn't look like a good well, but it's a well. What are the people who made that well, or the image of that well, what did they want to portray through that well? They obviously wanted to portray provision and a source of life. And I think that was the main idea of last week's sermon that Len brought. And the verse that he used was, one of the verses that he used came out of Jeremiah. And I was just mulling it over. And I don't know about you, but I felt while he was speaking last week, a massive conviction in my heart personally. I'm not talking regarding the broader church. I'm not talking about this local church. I was talking that I had a massive conviction in my heart that there might be some dryness in my personal relationship with the Lord that I cannot necessarily pick up why, but I was convicted. And I asked Len to pray for me. And then it continued through the week that I was busy with the Lord. And Wednesday when we came to the elders meeting in Cape Town, there was just this beautiful time of worship. And in worship, there was a word that came about. And it was a word, just a picture that somebody saw about coins that's dirty. And they've been used and they've been overused and they've become dirty, and the overwhelming feeling was is that you've been doing what you needed to do, but now you actually feel worthless. And the Lord is actually saying, you're not worthless, you just need to be washed again. And again, there was an opportunity for prayer, and I really felt convicted that I need more of God's presence in my life. There's an intimacy that's missing. And the verse that he actually used was verse 13 of Jeremiah 2 that read, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, that's the one, the fountain of living waters, which is talking about this well that needs to spring up in our lives. And they've hewed out, or they dug out, or they made cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So you can see there's a busyness. You can see there's something that people are doing in order to create a source of being, but nothing is working. And that was really convicted me. And I went to this chapter during the week to actually try and figure out, Lord, what do I, Claude, need to do? What is up, you know? And I don't know about you, but have you ever been to a wedding? You probably all have been to a wedding. One of the most beautiful things to see a wedding, right? We sometimes call it like puppy love, or, you know, the passionate look that a bridegroom gives his bride when she walks down the aisle. My wife always says that she doesn't look towards the bride when she walks in. She always looks to the bridegroom, because when you see his face of desire, of longing to actually walk with this person for the rest of their lives. And the same for a bride when she walks into that room. And miskien moet van julle 'n bietjie terugdink oor hoe dit was toe jy ingestap het, en van julle is miskien nou nog nie daar nie, hou vas net 'n bietjie vir oomblik aan julle stoele. But there's this beautiful picture of this desire for someone. An intimacy that's beautiful. Now, I remember when I got married, I was like, everything was about Toinette. Everything. Up to the point where my dad had to say, Claude, shut up, Ned. Are we going to watch rugby on Saturday, Claude? Well, actually, here's my Toinette, what's I will do? It's something, right, to behold when somebody is truly in love and is yearning for an intimacy. That, and I'm not talking about a physical intimacy, even though I think it's something that we don't discuss in church because we actually try to avoid those type of scriptures. But have you ever read Songs of Solomon? She's like, you cannot ignore those parts of the scripture, Emil. Because God has created us for intimacy with Him. And I'm like, gosh, how many times in our lives do we need to actually go through these same processes, come to the same place of dryness in our life, just to realize that we have actually moved away from God? And in verse 2 of Jeremiah 2, and this is our text, it says, this is Jeremiah that gets a call from God to actually go and speak to the nation of Israel. Weet jy hoe erg is dit wanneer iemand anders stuur om met jou te praat oor jou nonsens? I mean, just that you can't hear what the person is saying, so he's got to send somebody else to actually talk to you. And this is what God is doing through the prophets. In years gone by, because Israel didn't want to listen, He had to send prophets. And prophets came and they spoke. And this is what they say, is, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. So in the city of Jerusalem, and this city, Jerusalem, just to give you context, He's speaking to the whole of Israel. At that point, Israel was divided between Judah and Israel. And Jerusalem was the main city of Judah, but some of the Assyrian or the 10 tribes that were part of Israel actually went back to Jerusalem, some of the priests. So he was in actual fact speaking to all of Israel when he speaks. And he says, this is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. That's the verse that I want to spend time on this morning. I remember the devotion of your youth. I remember that. How as a bride you loved me. And then he qualifies that. How as a bride you loved me. Which means is there was a point in Israel's history that they actually desired God, longed for God as a bride. And I believe that for the church today, if we take this and we pull this through to the church, there was a time where the church desired after God like a bride. There was a time, maybe if we pull it even through personally, there was a time that you, when you were just born again, when you just met Christ, that you longed for Him like a bride longs for a bridegroom. And I remember in my life, there was a time that everybody wanted me to shush about my love for God, like they wanted me to shush about my love for Toinette. And the picture that I had when I was dealing with the scripture was, and I shared it with Gary this morning, was the picture that maybe the church has become an old wife instead of a loving bride. And please don't take this with disrespect, but there's a difference in the devotion of a bride versus the devotion of a tired wife. We come to church every Sunday because we're faithful. We read our Bibles every morning because we're faithful. But somehow, it's done with a different heart. It's done with a devotion of faithfulness, but not with the love of a young bride. And God is saying to the church, I remember how you approached me differently than what you're approaching me now. And I'm like, yo, Lord, God is speaking to me. Like, I am devoted. I am faithful. I will wake up in the mornings to open up my house so that we can pray together. I will come on Sundays and I will jump up and down and I will sing. But am I truly loving him like a bride should love a bridegroom? And this is the thing that we all have to deal with. We're going to miss you, Lynette. You see, if you go into that verse, it's quite interesting that it actually says that through a land not sown. This is God speaking to Israel, saying to them, before, when I took you out of Egypt, we went into a land that was not sown. You did not know where I'm going to lead you. You did not know where I'm going to take you, but you were willing as a bride to follow me and to do whatever is needed because you were going with me. I mean, can you imagine? As ek vir jou vandag sê, kom ons gaan vandag in die woestyn in. Die Sahara woestyn, want die Here sê ons moet daar 'n kerk plant. Wat gaan jy vir my sê? I don't know. Just think about this. Israel followed God with the desire of a young bride. Maar as Susie, jy is nou nog jonk verlief, nee? As Andries vir jou moet sê, my skat, ons gaan nou woestyn toe, en die Here sê, ons gaan woestyn toe. Dan gaan ons maar gaan. Why? Because there's a trust, and there's a faith, and there's a love that's passionate, that you will follow him wherever. He will go. Daar was 'n tyd wat Toinette my so gevolg het en ek wil die Here dankbaar wees want sy volg my nou nog so. But as a church, as the body of Christ, do we follow him? And this is what played out now. By the time when Jeremiah was giving this word, Israel wasn't following God anymore in a desert. They were settled as a nation, they were persecuted as a nation, then they came back as a nation. And suddenly in verse 20, they say, God actually says to them in Jeremiah 20, so for long ago, I broke your yoke and burst your bonds, but you said, I will not serve. Yes, on every hill, under every green tree, you bowed down like a whore. Yet I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? What happened with Israel is that they started running after other gods. Once God gave them the promised land, once God gave them everything that they needed, they fell out of love with God and they fell in love with other things. And God actually says to them that you have run after under every green tree, even though you followed me in the desert before, now suddenly you are giving yourself to other things. Because it looks more lush and it looks more fruitful. But I am your God. I am your source of life, like Len said last week. So let me tell you this morning, that in our desire to be intimate with God, or actually with his desire to be intimate with us, because I think this is the case in point for me this morning, is that intimacy is not our idea. God made us to be intimate, but it's not our idea. It's God's yearning after us. He yearns to be intimate with you. He's the one that called you out of darkness into light. He's the one that's calling your name right now, even in this moment where the Holy Spirit is pointing on you. While you're hearing my voice, you're hearing the Holy Spirit pushing on you and saying, you're not following me like I called you to follow me. I love you. I want the best for you. I desire for you. And that's why David said in Psalm 73, verse 28, he says, it's good to be near God. It's good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. It's good to be near God. And I think if I have to ask anyone who's ever walked with God before to tell me their testimony, is like there's never been a better time in your life than the times that you were intimate and close with God. Those are the best days of our lives. It's the second time that I'm hearing the theme music today of days of our lives. Sorry, Annie. But it is that. It's the fact that when we are intimate with God, when we move with Him, when we walk with Him, when we hear His voice, those are the lush times in our lives, no matter where we are. So why do we fall out of intimacy? Why do we become like that old Kohen? Why do we become like the old wife that's devotional but not intimate? You see, because intimacy is much more than devotion. It's also much more than knowledge. The word intimacy, when we unpack that, it's actually to be known and know someone. To be known by someone and also to know someone, that's true. But the level of knowing one another is not just, hey, akin for Timmy. There's an intimate, when we speak about it, we're like, well, we're close to one another. And actually, Lynette just mentioned it. Even though they're going to be far away from us, there's an intimate, deep relational connection. Now, in our culture, if we say our culture, I'm talking about South African culture, we are very good, just like yesterday when we played against Portugal. We're very good to lower our outside walls towards people. It was almost a bell. But when it comes to the intimate relations that we should have with God and with people, we sometimes keep those walls up very high. What is the reason that we fall out of intimacy with God? Well, the Lord just highlighted one thing for me, and I trust that before we get to worship this morning, that this one thing is the one thing that God can massage back into our lives as a local congregation, where our worship, and our worship is not just singing here, it's our lives towards Him. That's our worship, our everyday obedience and love towards Him, that our worship will grow from an intimate place to a more intimate place to a more intimate place. What is that one reason? Well, if you don't have trust, you cannot have intimacy. And I suspect that we have fallen out of trust. You fall out of trust before you fall out of intimacy. You lose trust. And if we have to be honest with each other, we're probably the nation that struggles to trust the most. We don't like trusting people. And my question would be is, do we actually trust God? Do you trust God completely, wholeheartedly, fully? You see, the heartbeat of an intimate relationship is trust. Just think about your wife that might be sitting next to you. If trust is broken, intimacy is broken. Now, you can try to replace that trust by knowing more about your wife. It might not replace the trust. Am I right? Or you can do whatever you want to do in order to show that, but you want to be intimate with your wife. You can take her for a romantic dinner, but if there's a break in relationship and the romantic music is playing in the background and the flowers is on the table and you've organized everything, but she does not trust you, what does the music help? Nada. Right? Trust is what's important. So, listen to Psalm 9 verse 10. It says, those who know your name, Psalm 9 verse 10, trust you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Is God worthy of our trust? And my answer is yes. But the fruit of my life will show if I truly trust him. Am I right? We were singing, and I think it was one of the moments on Wednesday, we were worshiping together and Mervis was singing it. And he sang the lyrics. He says, Lord, you're beautiful. You're worthy of it all. And I was like, I was singing this, and I know that God, I've got knowledge, God is beautiful. But knowledge is not trust. And I know, again, I've got knowledge that he's worthy of it all. But in my heart of hearts, I've probably come to a place personally where I felt like, Lord, so many things have happened in the last couple of years in my life. Then I'm not sure if I want to give my whole heart yet. I'm not sure if I know you're worthy, but I'm not sure if I trust you completely. And when the altar call came, and they asked, who feels like that coin? I was like... I feel like that. Because somehow I'm singing, but I'm not singing. Somehow I'm worshiping, but I'm not truly worshiping. Somehow I feel distant, even though I am close. And you know what happens when somebody comes and prays for you? It's like, you know, the people that are praying for you, they've got this desire to pray. And the first guy will pray, and he prays but he really feels that he wants to pray. And then sometimes when people pray for you, one person just say maybe one word or one thing. And it goes like. I remember Roland was praying for me, and he was praying the most beautiful prayer. And then the second prayer came. And the guy said, Claude, I don't know you. I don't even know what his name is right now. So I don't know you, but while Roland was praying, I feel like God just said these words, first love. You've lost your first love. And I'm like, Lord, that's it. That's it. I've lost my first love. The reason I'm doing things is because I want to be faithful. I want to be found faithful. But I'm not doing it because he's my first love. And so many times we fall in that same trap, each and every one of us. We will gladly be devoted, but we've lost our first love because we gradually stop trusting that what God has for us is actually good. What God wants for us is the best. And what we find then is when God starts moving in a direction that feels so different, we stop. It's like getting off the station. The train is going on, and eventually that train will come back, and we'll experience some sort of closeness to God for a moment, but we're not willing to step onto the train that God is actually on. Because slowly but surely we've lost trust. in his promises. Guys, it was so interesting for me, but that my faith was so weak that when Kim said to me on Wednesday that I need to tell everybody here that the building, we've got a building, I was like, I can't. In my spirit, I can't. Why? Because it wasn't signed. The contract's not signed. You want to tell me that the contract is the determining factor of the building? I've placed my focus on worldly things instead of trusting God in faith. You know what? The contract wasn't signed on Wednesday, and I stood up in good faith in the Lord because I was like, I'm only going to worship you, Lord, when this building is going to come through. And what God wanted me to do is to worship him in spite of the building coming through. Because that's what faith is. Listen to these words. When was the last time you just heard this in your spirit? Psalm 28 verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. And he helps me. My heart leaps for joy. And with my song I praise him. When was the last time that you felt like that? Because if you read this now and you think about the bride, the expectation of a bride, isn't that how it should be when we come together to worship him, those who trust him fully with our whole hearts, that we leap with joy and praise him because he's such a good God? So what are those common mistakes that we make? Well, in intimacy, as we lose trust, is that we think to know more about him equals intimacy. So we start reading our Bibles more. We learn more. We study more. And biblical knowledge is important. But that it does not equal intimacy. Have you ever fallen in that trap? Psalm 19 verse 10 says that biblical knowledge and reading the word of the Lord is better than gold and silver. But here's the thing. They are more precious than gold and they are much more pure than silver. But they are sweeter than honey of the honeycomb. But when we just run after the word of the Lord without wanting to be intimate with God, it does not fuel intimacy. It fuels pride. Because we learn more about God. We learn more about the things of God, and now we know things that other people don't know. In actual fact, Corinthians 8 verse 1 says that knowledge puffs up. I remember when I asked my dad for blessing to marry Toinette. Now I knew that this was God's gift to me. Up to today, I know this. But my dad did not trust that. He did not trust that. I remember when I was running after everything and like, Claude, do you know her? I don't need to know her. I love her. My dad was worried because of her past. He's like, you sure you know her? You need to know her. No, I don't need to know her. I need to love her. Knowledge does not equal intimacy. Knowledge only puffs up. You know, if I knew everything of Toinette, because I'm learning every day, would you agree with me, those who are older than me, that you know more every day? But if I knew everything before I made a decision to commit to her, I probably wouldn't, because that knowledge would have puffed me up. And that's why Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 5, he said the following, he says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. And you know what? I've been this Pharisee. I've studied the scriptures because I think somehow when I read this Bible, God is just going to jump on me by his spirit. And Jesus says the following, says, these are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Intimacy with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying don't read your Bible. I'm saying read your Bible when the intimacy is there, that you love God, you want to be with God, you want to know His heart's desires. The other mistake that we make is that we think that experiences equal intimacy. I've seen this and I've done this as well. See, experiences that we have as a church together, like coming together in the front here and jumping up and down, is great experiences. But if you're just jumping up and down because somebody else is jumping down and you have no intimacy with him, you're just a jumping jack. It's nothing. Experiences does not equal intimacy. We've got other people that they run after revival because they think God is found in the revival. But they do not equal intimacy. Experiences are also like gold when God is in them. And when they fuel our trust in the Lord and are birthed from trust, it's something different. It's something to behold. When you have somebody that's jumping up and down like Mary because she trusted her Savior, broke that nardus oil over his feet, it's different. Because it's fueled by trust. But when our experiences replaces trust, you know what? It actually fuels religious bigotry. That's what it does. It fuels religion that becomes ugly. Because we say, no, but you should worship God like that. And we say, no, we should worship God like that. In verses, are you trusting God for your daily bread? Are you trusting God for everything? Meanwhile, God has got this desire and He's got this longing to be with you, to walk with you. And let me remind you of God in the first chapters of the Bible when His creation walked away from Him. I love this picture of God. Adam and Eve rejected His word, rejected intimacy with Him without even realizing it. God's heart was walking in the garden. Adam, where are you? Where are you? I'm looking for you. We used to walk together. We used to talk together. Where are you? Now, my question to you this morning is, are you so busy with religious stuff that you're missing His voice in your life? You're missing true devotion to who He is, and you've missed your first love? Or are you so busy with filling yourself with knowledge that you cannot put away the books and just say, Lord, come wash over me with your Spirit. I need to be with you. Because there's an opportunity and there's an invitation from God. In these verses, this first verse, or second verse of Jeremiah 2, you can read it very clearly, is that I remember. This is God speaking to His people saying, where are you? I remember. I remember when you, Jono, you were close to me. I remember, Annie, when you just worshiped me. I remember, Claude, when you just sat behind the piano and poured out your heart before me. I remember. I'm longing for you. That's what God is saying to His church in Jeremiah. He's the God that's inviting us to be intimate with Him. I remember how you loved me. Isn't this beautiful? that the way back to intimacy is faith and trust in God. There's no better picture than to see faith in action, than a bride walking down an aisle to say, I will spend the rest of my life with you. I might not know you 100%. I might not have experienced everything about you, but I've got faith and trust that I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life. You see, the road back for us to church, to intimacy, is through faith and faith alone in the work that Christ has done already. He's completed the work. The bride's object of affection was the bridegroom. She had faith in him. She would walk wherever he would walk. If you read that Jeremiah 2 verse 2 again, it says, how you loved me and followed me. Faith loved me for who I am and followed. Trust me for what I will do in your life. Through the wilderness, even though you might not even see any fruit coming up, even though there was no seed sown, together, as we walk it out in faith and trust, God will build his garden in your life, in our life, together. I'm ending with now. You just maybe just want to put this out there. The faith that we need. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. Our way back to intimacy is to behold how good and how marvelous our bridegroom is. I want you to picture by the end of this, as we come to worship this morning, I want to picture you. We had this picture in our minds that Jono came and he shared it a few weeks ago in Revelations 19, that the deeds of the righteous becomes the linen that's weaved together as the garment of the bride. The reason why we put on a garment as a bride is because we are getting married to our beloved. The Bible, in essence, is a love book. It's a love story. It's not a religious book. It's not a how to get into heaven workbook. It's the story of God that was faithful to bring sin to its destruction so that you and I can have eternal life with him. To restore unto him us as his people. Hebrews 4 verse 14 to 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach. Let us approach this morning. Let us come. Maybe it's been too long for you to hide where you are or stand where you've been standing. You know, when you want to get onto a train, you actually need to take a step. Otherwise, God is moving. For those who wanted to walk with God, they needed to follow God. They needed to approach God. Therefore, in confidence because of who He is and what He has done, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It's by faith and trust that we come back to intimacy. And this is the heart of God. I love it. John 14, verse 1, one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible, he says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. But you believe in me." Believe in God, believe in me. Have faith in me. This is the first step of a love relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God, is to believe. Now, here's the thing about a tired old wife that's been doing dishes for so many years and washing laundry, getting the kids to bed. As eventually, the calluses grow so hard that there's much more than just a word like this that needs to happen. It's like an operation. It's like a massage that needs to come and move away those calluses of the heart that needs to happen. And the very place where you might find your biggest difficulty today is the very place that God wants you to exercise faith in. The very place where you are doubting that you can trust Him, that you got to move with Him, that you want to make plans of your own, you want to run on your own steam, is the very place that God wants you to exercise faith this morning and to come back into intimacy with Him. Intimacy with God often occurs in the places where we need to trust Him the most. I somehow wonder what would have happened if Eve trusted God in the garden. What would have happened if Israel did not forsake the spring of life? In actual fact, I don't need to wonder. Because no matter what we do, the grace of God in this dispensation is running after you. And He's asking you to come. He loves you. He loves you more than anything. When was the last time you've been intimate with Jesus? Ek kom as lank voor en toe kom ek dink ons gaan worship. When was the last time that you poured out your heart before Him? When was the last time that you truly put your faith and your trust back where it belongs? I want to invite you this morning. His ways are higher than my ways and your ways. And sometimes He leads us through a desert. But I want to invite you this morning to trust Him. To trust Him fully and wholly. Let us not make the same mistake that the Israelites made by forsaking Him. He is the source of life. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I want to invite you to come before Him this morning. Can we pray?